Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, as announced previously, is the scripture reading for this day, in which King David gives thanks to God for deliverance from danger and trouble. People today frequently lament that we don't have heroes anymore. The age in which we live is sometimes called a non-hero age, or even sometimes one that is an anti-hero age. At the same time, while these claims are made, we notice that frequently the news media, television, and the printed media frequently features someone as a hero. Usually, the so-called hero is a young person who has maybe pulled a child out of a swimming pool and saved his or her life. Or it may be a young child who has dialed 911 when there is a fire in the home or one of the parents are in distress or danger. A few of these individuals sometimes even make it to the White House, where there is a special ceremony with the President of the United States. But often one is left with the impression that many of these so-called heroes fall short of the classic designation of a hero as one who has performed a good and outstanding deed that requires a Herculean-type effort and often done at very and great severe risk to one's own life. Sometimes the nominees for this designation of being a hero reject it and even downplay the very suggestion that they should be called heroes. Don't get me wrong. Some of the individuals are true heroes, and no doubt all deserve the thanks that is given for their helping someone else. But still, many of the situations fall short of the classic historical understanding of what a hero is. And the bad thing about all of this is that we run the risk of trivializing what a real hero is, and we run the risk of ignoring sometime the people who deserve to be singled out for special thanks and true heroic action. The good thing about it, however, is that these ceremonies or these news reports do remind us that we should take time out to thank people for doing something good for someone else. We certainly need this reminder in a time that is called a very impersonal age, when we are accustomed to hearing about people passing by those in distress and need of help and simply ignoring them. In our text this morning, King David thinks of God as his true hero. Fresh from a major battle, King David stops to thank God, who no doubt in David's mind at that time was the greatest hero of all. Because God has stepped into King David's life when, as David said, the cords of death were entangling him. Or when he says he was anguishing over the grave because he faced the possibility of imminent inhumation and he knew that he was in trouble from which apparently he couldn't extract entirely himself. And so God came to David's rescue, as we are told, out of love and mercy for him. And so God was David's hero in the real sense of the term on that occasion. And God is just as much a hero to us today as he was to King David in the Old Testament. Because of our sinful situation and because of all of our original and actual sin, our situation is not unlike that of King David's, because you and I are also entangled in the cords of spiritual death. We are constantly being threatened by an eternal inhumation in hell. And so the specter of an eternal grave is before our eyes because of sin. And we are also constantly facing all of the other consequences of sin: illness, anguish of one sort or the other, unhappiness frequently in our lives, the constant faith-threatening temptations of Satan, and then temporal death from accidental and natural causes. We too need to be extracted from these dangers in which we so often cannot help ourselves. And so God comes to our rescue as he came to King David's. God comes and grants us victory over our enemies. God comes to rescue us through the work of his Son on the cross. And God's action on our behalf is indeed truly heroic. It is heroic because it was motivated by a monumental measure of love. Not only was the fall bad enough, and as St. Augustine reminds, it was without any logical, rational justification whatsoever, but we go on and keep resisting God's love and his mercy in our life. And so by human standards, the love that God has for us is truly a Herculean effort and of Herculean proportion. In addition to that, God also rescues us by putting the life of his Son on the line. And not only did he face death as Hercules had done in mythology, but he even gave himself up into death so that we might avoid eternal death. He died in our place and rose again from the grave. That is real heroic effort, and it was all for us. But the constant danger is that we may trivialize this heroic action of God in Christ by thinking of God simply as a solution to our temporal problems. An exam may come up and we need a little divine assistance, perhaps, and pray in that regard. We may sometimes feel we need a little divine help for getting through a course during the summer. Or we may need God's help for a personal problem facing us. And certainly God helps us in those situations. And he is a hero to us in those regards as well. But at the same time, he is a much greater hero for us because he has saved us from eternal death. He has rescued us from the clutches and the powers of Satan. And for that, we need, as King David did, to remember to thank our God, to sing some praise to him. David took time out of his life to remember God in praise, and you and I also should take time to think of our worship also as a hero-honoring ceremony. This is the time that we thank God for all he has done for us, as well as in other times in our life. Yes, you and I have a real hero, a real hero that also needs to be thanked and praised. And this we do this morning, and praise God that we will do it the rest of our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.